Welcome everybody to Guitar Goddess, and today we have a very special guest for you, Miss Bonnie Montgomery, all the way from the South. She's going to talk to us today about her new project, Life on the Road, and what's happening in her world. Welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're so excited that you took time out. You know, I know you're on the road a lot touring, and you have a brand new project coming out, and a new single, actually. Is that correct?
Right. That is correct. Yep. The album is going to drop on February 16th. So the month has started today, and I'm ready. Totally ready.
You're in the countdown. It's like 16 days to launch. I love this part.
I know. It's like, just hold on and hope that everything works out, because there's a lot of moving parts.
And it always does, you know, and it may not look exactly like you want it to look, but it's always perfect.
Cool. Yeah, it will be. It will. I've got a good team, and I'm definitely working it, so should be good.
Tell us about this project, you know, how it got started and all of that good stuff.
Well, this project is really interesting because I wrote and produced and funded everything. So that's been a really interesting aspect of this, because previously I had a label who helped me with that kind of stuff. But I recorded in Austin, Texas at the Ameripolitan Studios there. And I used my Austin-based band in the studio. And we recorded it really fast. It was like 2 or 3 days with the full band. Yeah, it was a process that I had never experienced. But the engineer, Chris Burns, is a veteran here with very authentic Texas music. Mm-hmm. And he knew the process. He just guided us through this really quick way of recording. So, I mean, I went back in and overdubbed my vocals because I had just done a scratch vocal, and we overdubbed some of the lead parts and fixed them and then we mixed.
Wow.
And then it was done. So it's been an interesting project on that level, because it was very authentic and organic. Mm-hmm. And my bandmates are just awesome. They are so amazing. To me, that's the joy of this project, is getting to work with them. So, yeah.
That's really cool. I'm starting to hear more of that, where people are just going in the studio and nailing it, you know.
Right.
Instead of wasting all this time, months, you know, going back and so on and so forth, but just getting the authentic, heart of the songs down.
Right.
Today is really it anyways. I mean, you know, uh-huh. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the studio, and it's always the first take, you know?
It is. I mean, the majority of the time, you're like, we got it. We did.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about Chris Burns is he would always want us to do three, mm-hmm. and so we weren't exhausted with the song.
Yeah.
And yeah, usually that first take was it. And in fact, some of the tracks on this album are the very first take. There's a song that's sort of a lullaby, goodnight song at the very end, mm-hmm. called Desert Flower. And that's a one take thing with the whole band, with everything. It's really a sweet kind of acoustic song, but still, I had never done a one take song on a full record, you know? And so that was awesome to just be confident and just be like, yeah, this is what we want, because it sounds fresh and it sounds real.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I'm so excited about that. And I love hearing, you know, that you worked with your band that you work with all the time. You know, you
right.
go and hire a bunch of studio guys.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's key as well, when you're trying to, you know, do something fast, is working with people that you have a relationship with. You guys understand each other musically, you know.
Totally. And they not only do they understand me, but they added so much, mm-hmm. even in those moments in the studio that we had never done before. And it was, they're amazing. They're geniuses, all of them. So I'm just thrilled that they spend time with me and work with me. It's wonderful. And there's a mutual respect there, you know. It's so great. They're thinkers. They think about the message, they think about the philosophy of what we're doing, and you can hear it. You can hear that excitement and the passion in the recording, I think. So it was awesome. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience.
And I love hearing that. I love, like you're saying, you know, everybody had respect for each other in the studio and, you know, and wanted the best for the project. And I think that's sometimes where artists go wrong, where they go and hire a bunch of, you know, session musicians who aren't invested in the project. I mean, they're invested from a financial standpoint, but not necessarily in the overall global picture of what the project is about.
Right. Right. And yeah, the message, the global like message. Totally. Yeah. And so it's also, it's a cool album because it's a concept album. It's like a, there's a theme that recurs throughout it, musically and, you know, philosophically. So they had that in mind too. We all did. And so I think making it a full piece of art that's all connected was also part of the vision for everybody. So that was cool. Yeah, it might be hard to achieve that with a studio band and instead of these people who put the miles in with you on the road, you know, and on the stage.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You talked to us a little bit about your process. You know, you had all of the songs pretty much like laid out before you went in the studio, but talk to us about your creation process. Like, did the concept come first? Did you write one song and say, oh, I want to continue? Like, talk to us about, you know, putting together this whole thing from a songwriter's perspective.
Okay. I think a lot of these songs had been in existence and we've been playing them out for the last year or so. And that's always a great way to work out all the kinks of the song and see where everybody really shines and how the crowd reacts to it and stuff. And so, you know, my songwriting process is just really, I have full ideas that come to me a lot of times when I'm just waking up or, not really trying to write songs, and then I try to capture them, you know, and then I sit down and like whittle it down. So that's kind of how all of these were written, was just really naturally from, you know, things that had happened in my life in the last couple years and the ways I'd been feeling. And then, you know, I just bring the song to the band and then they fill it out. But as far as how we tied them all together and chose the songs for the album, it really came down to sort of the musical landscape that was happening naturally in the studio that we didn't expect until we got in there. Because there were like two or three songs that we recorded in addition to what's on this album that we cut out because it just didn't flow with this concept that we had going. So it was interesting to kind of make it sonically like a journey, you know, a landscape kind of thing. I don't know.
That's neat. So mm-hmm. There's two others that we may see on another project down the road.
Yeah, or they may be singles or something. Yeah, they'll get out there somehow.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you said something early on that, like, you funded this project. Like, did you do crowdfunding? What did you do? How did that come about? Because I understand, like, I was in a label years ago, and it's so hard to transition from a label to being on your own.
Woo!
Everything yourself.
Yes. Oh, my God, girl. I'm so glad to hear someone else say it. Yeah. Because my label was awesome and took great care of me. I was kind of like the little starlet on this small label. And that label has switched gears entirely. I'm not sure if they're producing anything anymore. They just kind of switched directions and switched career objectives or something. So yeah, and I, you know, I tried to reach out to labels that I respect, but I also just don't have time to continue putting my energy out on something where I'm not getting a response. Or I'm not getting the response I want. I don't have time for that. It doesn't get me down. I'm just like, okay, moving on. You know, yeah. It's not the right time for them. It's not the right time for me, whatever it is. And so then I realized, all right, I got to do this, and started pricing it all. And I worked, I saved up money from gigs, and I saved for a while for the studio time. And then I have been so fortunate to have an investor that helped me with a small part of it. Just like getting the CDs made, you know, photography fees, video fees, those kind of things. So that helped once I'd been digging in. The album was done and mastered. And I also had an anonymous friend who helped with the mastering. It's been really interesting. Some people have stepped up that I didn't expect at all. And I expected, you know, it would just happen when it could financially, and it did. So I didn't do any of the crowdfunding. I just didn't get to that point. And I'm personally kind of shy about doing that, because I feel I don't know. I hate to even ever owe anyone anything at all, and maybe that's just a personal flaw, but you know, I just didn't want anything like that to be hanging over my head. Like a whole group of people had an expectation for what I was going to make, and then I don't know if I would have met that expectation. So it was cool to just be the boss lady all the way down the line. It's also a lot of work, and it's overwhelming. But to know that you made the decisions and that you have full artistic control, it's priceless. I recommend it if anyone can go that route, because we can now with the internet and everything. So it's been interesting.
That's mm-hmm. so true. You know, the internet has totally changed the music industry positively and negatively. And I just think the positive that we don't have to wait anymore for a stamp of approval from a label, and you don't have to wait anymore, you know, to release your projects. I remember years ago when I was on a label, I did this project that I was so in love with, and they completely shelved it. And hours and energy, you know, writing and producing and, you know, band and all of that stuff, to have it shelved, you know, that's really heartbreaking. So I'm really excited when I see artists like yourselves who, you know, have gone from the label system into the independent level and are being successful at it. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you. Yes. Not many people know that roller coaster ride.
Woo, girl.
You know, you know what I mean? Because
you got PR, let's just talk about that, because some people don't know who are watching, you know, they don't understand, you know, when you produce your own project, let's talk about it. You have PR helping you somewhat.
Yes, thankfully. Yes.
And then you're also doing promotion.
Yes, I am. That is the only place where I have help, is in the press side of things. And that's where my amazing donor came in and helped me. And I knew that was going to need to be what happened, because those other albums that I made were beautiful and funded all the way down the line, beautiful vinyl and wow, all of that. But they did not have a publicity team. And we talked about this too, and you know, we discovered that if you don't actually try to get it out into the world, if you don't make a concerted effort to get it out, then it's almost like a tree falling in the woods. Is anyone really going to hear it, you know? So I knew that was a component of this record that was going to be essential to it, not just the studio time and the artistry of it, but then more so than needing a label, I wanted a publicist. So I did some shopping around and I found a great one. I'm sure you've been working with the girls. Yeah. My team is all ladies.
Makes me so happy.
Woo! Yeah. I mean, I love men too, but you know, there's a hustle. If you're a hardworking woman, man, you're unstoppable.
Absolutely. And,
you know, I love having that camaraderie with them. They're great. But I really got my mind blown when I realized that things are kind of a la carte now with the music industry. And, I had it explained to me in this way that totally, changed everything for me, which was, it's kind of a three-part thing now. There's the label, the publicist, and then the booking agent. And if you can get all three of them going at the same time, then you're doing great, or you can sit back a little bit. But, you know, just to have one, whatever's coming at you at that time, you can go with it. And one might bring along the other component. You know what I mean? So that's what I learned, and that's what I went with on this. And it's still tough though, because I'm doing most of it myself still. So, but it's beautiful that way too. Like we're saying, because I'm in total control.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about, this is really important, but it's kind of off topic, but I get questions a lot. How did you decide which publicist to choose? And for an artist who's never worked with a publicist before, what are some tips that you can give?
I went and looked at artists that were heroes of mine, and saw who they're working with, and checked out their roster and what they do, and the kind of press that they were getting for people. Then I looked at people around on my level and just dug in. I mean, I had a list a mile long of all these publicists for people that I look up to, and play with in different venues and stuff. And then, you know, I just looked at other ones that were just out there representing people that I had never heard of, but were doing good work. It took a lot of research, and then it took a lot of reaching out, because they're busy and they have full rosters a lot of the time. That's the catch to it, you know, because it is a service that you pay for, but it also in many ways they have to come to you still. So it's such a song and dance. It's show business, you know, but that's how I did it. Just a lot of research about the ones that were doing great work for people that I listen to and tour with and stuff. So
that's great. Then
I started reaching out to them over email. So I would suggest that's what you do if you want to. Just reach out and be a human being, you know, and just be like, this is what I need. This is where I am in my career. And so it worked for me. Hopefully it can work for others.
Absolutely. And it brought us here together today.
I know.
And I'm just so excited. You know, I just love meeting badass women. Like, you know, this is like my greatest joy in life, is to connect with other women who are out there kicking ass and taking numbers.
Me too, girl. It's awesome. I love it.
So let's transition back to Forever.
Uh-huh.
How did the title Forever come into play?
It's all just from that song Forever that's on the album, which is also the recurring theme that comes back. So I had just written this song out of complete, you know, emotion in my life, and it was Forever, you know, was the name of the song. And the basis of this song is I sort of experienced some things, and it's weird, but I sort of wanted to tell myself that love goes on forever, and it does, you know. It's something that transcends everything. It's a magic thing in life. It's like music to me. It's like one of those things that heals and transcends, and it transforms too. And it does, if you love someone, it doesn't end when they go out of your life, or when they cross over to the other side. You know, that love is always there. And you're like, where does that go into the universe? You know, where is all of it going? Well, it just goes on and on, I think. So that's like the crux of the album, is that concept. And so I just thought that it's, you know, we sat there and worked for so long on the album, and everything just came really easily. Like I was saying, we only did 3 takes of every song. We made decisions really fast about editing and what to keep in and what to leave out. And when it came time to really think of the name of this project, it was just easy, because we had 4 versions of the song in there. And it's like, of course, it's called Forever.
Yeah.
So it was just easy, you know. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. Let's go with that. Like, moving on, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
So.
And As a guitarist, like, tell us about your guitar playing. Like, when did you start playing? Did you start as a child? Did you start later in life? Like, let's talk about that a little bit.
I didn't start playing guitar until I was about 14, which was kind of weird because they started, my parents, I was really lucky to have a musical family, and they started me on piano lessons at 3. And so I was a serious piano student by the time I was 14. I was like competing, and I was also taking voice lessons and singing classical literature. And so the guitar was sort of like, I never wanted to read one score of guitar music. I never even really wanted to know the names of anything. I just wanted it to be fun and completely off the charts and not formal for me. So yeah, I just learned some country chords and started messing around with it, you know? And then it's so easy to transport it. It's not like a keyboard or a piano. Or an organ. And so, yeah, it just became that easy thing to always have around the campfire or take with you on a trip or, you know, have with you. And I actually feel like it's not my best instrument. I'm a rhythm guitarist at best. But I do love it. And I love just I don't know. It's just my little friend, you know, it's just the right size. And I love playing the guitar. Even if I'm not like ripping up solos, it's still, you know, it's there for me.
Yeah, it's a great songwriter's tool.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just one of those things, like, you know, I have them everywhere and mine all have names. So I'm a little bit.
Oh, really? Oh, that's sweet. How do you pick the names?
They just talk to me, you know, I mean, uh-huh. I have a black bass and that's Collie and. You know, they all have different names. You know, I have a white one with crystals that's Angel, and you know, they just tell me what their names are and I just call them that.
That's awesome. I love that.
What type of guitar do you play?
The one that I've been taking on the road is a 1963 Gibson LG1.
Oh, jealous.
So, oh man, I love that guitar. I knew I wanted it because I wanted a little one.
Yeah.
And the LG is the ladies' guitar. yeah. And the sound is so big, though, for such a little guitar. It's got a lot of bass tones in it, and it's rich, and it's warm. And I love that about it. Because I've tried lots of different guitars, and some of them, especially for country music, are real metallic, high treble sounds.
Yeah.
And I wanted something with more body. So, I got it. I ordered it actually from an online place that had used instruments, and it came to me from St. Louis.
Wow.
My little baby came from St. Louis, and it's a sunburst, and it's got a lot of scars on it now, and already it was worn in, you know. Yeah. I can't imagine the stories it could tell from before I ever had it, and now it's got a lot more. It's pretty, and it's kind of it's got a black coloring in it too, so I feel like it's kind of outlaw. Oh, but I do want to go electric so bad. That's the next thing I want to do. Do you play electrics?
I do. I only have one acoustic, and it's a Taylor CE.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a gigantic guitar.
Yeah.
I don't play it a lot, but that's the only acoustic I have. And I have a Paul Reed Smith Custom 22 that I absolutely adore.
Mm.
I play that a lot. Like, that's my main guitar.
And, yeah.
There are a lot others. I think I have like 18 guitars total. So it's insane.
Awesome.
I with my outfits on stage.
Oh, heck yeah, girl. That is awesome. Do it. That's rock star right there.
Yeah. Metals?
No, I don't use any. Well, I just have an LR Biggs. It's the preamp. That has a tuner in it, so I can kind of tweak the sound if I need to, and I love that the tuner's there. It was about as expensive as a really great tuner, so I was like, shoot, yeah, that thing's gonna be awesome when I'm playing in some venue where I need to adjust stuff. So, yeah, but it's no effects. I would really like to go there too. That would be fun. Do you work with a lot of pedals?
No, I have some pedals. I have like five favorites, and I always keep coming back to them. I get pedals all the time, but I end up with the same pedals all the time. I have a Stomp Box that I absolutely adore. I have I have a what's that other thing? Robotalk, which I'm in love with. One of those custom pedals, and I have a wah-wah pedal that I use a lot, but everything else, it kind of comes in and it goes out, you know.
Right.
I'm kind of stuck with the same kind of setup, you know.
You got to keep the wah-wah.
Right? And my husband's always like, what is it with you and that thing? I said, I don't know. I just get in a groove with it and, you know, I just keep going. But
I love it. That's so awesome.
Yeah. And what about like amps? Are you loving any particular amp these days?
I usually don't use an amp, but I did love, I mentioned that my label was also, I don't know if I mentioned that he was also my guitar player in the band previously, and he played this beautiful Princeton, right? The Fender Princeton.
Yeah.
The little bitty amp.
Yes.
And like a Luther Perkins amp, I think. I don't know. It was kind of a country standard, and I loved the sound on that thing. I would play around with it, but everyone's told me I should look into a Blues Junior if I want to play like an SG or something whenever I do go electric. So I need to play around with them. I just don't have much experience with amps. I would love to find out.
I know. I keep saying there needs to be just like an amp store with all the amps plugged in, ready to go. And you just go and plug your guitar and all of them, like a mic shootout. You know, you do a mic shootout.
Right.
But there's no really amp shootout, you know, because
no.
You go to most of the stores, there's like two or three and all the rest are in the backstop because they don't want you scratching them.
Right. Totally. But I agree. It's like if I could find a music store that would let me just play.
Yeah.
And they would, but not every one of them. It's like I'm kind of just gambling.
Right.
If I'm first starting out. But I have a lot of great guitarists in my life that have, you know, kind of listened to me over the years and have trying to guide me when I do change over. That's so
that's mm-hmm. the thing, you know, about playing guitar. It's like we're an army, you know, this guitar player, this one, they've got this amp, this pedal, you know, even straps, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was introduced to Jody Head straps by another guitarist years ago, and she's here in California.
Uh-huh.
She makes these gorgeous guitar straps. And I just found out about her through someone here. So yeah, the community is tight and small, and I love it. And I love, you know, just learning of what everybody's using, what you're digging, and you know, just hearing that you're going direct mostly when you're playing is something I'm hearing a lot, actually.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like
with acoustic.
Yeah.
Or electric.
Both.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I talked to a girl last week. Actually, you guys have the same publicist. And she was saying, you know, I just go direct for everything. She's like, I have so much stuff when I'm touring. I've got, you know, my hair and makeup and all this stuff that guys don't have. And
right.
Amp was too much.
Right. That is honestly why I haven't gone electric, because I'm like, I already have the majority of the stuff in the band when they have their amps, and of course the drummer has her kit, but, you know, I do have another girl in the band, which is not very common in country music, especially for it to be a drummer, but man, that has been wonderful. But she's real low maintenance. I'm like the high maintenance one. So I'm like, well, now what am I going to do with an amp, you know? So yeah, that's it. Those are the real life issues there. Mm-hmm. Totally.
No, I love it. You know, when you're booking, it's like, what's in your back line? Because I don't want to carry all this crap with me.
Right. Right. Oh, it's such a godsend when they do have a back line that's good.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and talking about touring, for booking, are you booking yourself? Or are you working with a booking agent? What's happening with that?
I am booking it myself. That's another thing that's just like, honestly, booking is my least favorite thing. I'm sure everybody says that.
Yeah.
It's the thorn in my side. I'm just like, this is not my job. I'm not actually even really good at it. And it's not where I shine. It's not my happy place. And it never ends, ever. But I've had some help from time to time. So far, though, it's been pretty spotty. And it's been good from time to time. I've had some good agents. But, you know, so many times I hear about, you know, other colleagues that get a good booking agent, and then they're just taking a percentage of what these girls have always done for themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're asking for the Rolodex of contacts. And I'm like, you know, I think I'd rather right now not waste my time trying to chase down a booking agent and instead do the booking and be in control of that too. You know, it's not an easy job for me though. It's not a joyful job.
I don't think it is for anyone. You know, it's really interesting that what you just said, I love you. This is amazing.
Oh, you too.
Your Rolodex, you know, let's talk about that, because I had an experience recently where I was talking with a proposed booking agent, and not only did they want a fee up front, but they wanted all my contacts. And I'm like, dude, you gotta be kidding. I've been at this since 95. I'm not giving up the contacts.
Right. And it's not like I think I'm holding the Holy Grail or something, but I've that's going to be a lot of work for me to try to deliver that.
Yes.
And yeah, how hard have you worked to get those personal contacts and for people to trust your name and all of that, you know? And that it is interesting. This is off topic, but that, you know, in life in general, but then in music especially, your name is everything. Absolutely. And if you're consistent and you're a good businesswoman and you're respectful of the people that work for you and with you, you know, your name is the brand. And so I've been thinking about that a lot lately, just what it means. Your reputation, you know, it's important. You don't want to give all your contacts out. Those are yours. But yeah, you were asking about this tour. I've just been shocked that these really, really awesome venues are on my roster, and I'm with some people who are really great that I look up to, like JD Wilkes. He's a legendary Shack Checkers guy. And, you know, it all just kind of worked out. I knew a lot of these venues were great and just reached on out to them, and it worked. So, I'm actually kind of impressed with myself. I'm shocked. I'm actually more shocked than impressed, but, yeah, right now I'm doing it, but yeah, that's one thing that would take a huge load off, you know, is a great booking agent. But like I said, a lot of these that I really look up to, these booking agents, when I've talked to some people who work with them, it's not all, you know, an easy path once you get hooked up with them. So I'm kind of just happy where I am. I'm content with it right now.
Yeah, you're doing amazing. You have so much happening. I'm looking at your dates and stuff you have coming up. You got a lot on your plate, lady. And,
thank you. Yeah, I do.
Doing it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on all of that. And, you know, anything we can do to support, you know, we do have a Instagram page, we do have Facebook and all that. And I do like to post when other people are, you know, out and about doing things. So have your press person make sure they send me that stuff. You don't have time. So,
okay. Cool.
People call my
yeah. That's what I do love about my girls. They're like, don't do this yourself.
Right.
Pass it on down. I'm like, okay, sure thing. No, but it's a wonderful time to be a musician in America or wherever, because you know, you can do it yourself. You can put it out online digitally, and you can stay in control of it. And yeah, there's lots of possibilities. There's just so much great music going on right now too, that it's like a whole movement, as well as all these other movements happening in our country. I feel like there's this like strong music coming out of our generation. So that's exciting. So exciting.
It is exciting. And I don't think we would have heard this music had we still been on the old label system.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought of that. I guess right.
Just think about it, like the labels are corporate, right? And they have their corporate sound and they know what they want. They know it works, but they don't really go outside the box too much looking for new stuff.
Yeah, that's true. And it always just surprises me how much it's all the same.
Yes.
So homogenous when it comes to art. And to me, you know, art is just, it's whatever moves you. And so it doesn't have to fit right in this one alleyway, you know? So that is very interesting. Hadn't thought about that. It's cool. Power to the people, man.
People, absolutely, absolutely. So tell everybody, you know, how they can stay in touch with you, how they can find out about your tour and everything that's going on. Tell us how to stay in touch.
Okay, the website is BonnieMontgomeryMusic.com. All the tour dates are listed there and everything that's going on, the singles that are getting released and videos and stuff. So that's there. Then I'm on Facebook, Bonnie Montgomery Music, I think is the, it's / Bonnie Montgomery Music. And Instagram, I actually just have my name on there. I guess I got in early. It's awesome. Bonnie Montgomery. And Twitter, I'm Honky Tonk Bonnie. So I'm on all of them. Yeah, it's fun.
Well, that so. Is so awesome. I am so looking forward to, we're going to end the show with your latest single.
Which, okay.
Wait, I'm messing up here. No more.
Yeah, cool.
Okay,
cool.
All right, so we're going to end the episode with No More. And you guys, make sure you go and visit BonnieMontgomery.com. Check out all her links. Follow her on social. And if you missed any part of this, you can hit replay. There's a button below and you can hit replay after we end the show and you can hear all of the entire interview. Bonnie gave lots of great information about not only, you know, going from a label system to being an indie artist to, you know, fundraising for her project to, you know, touring to, you know, how do you find a publicist? She gave a lot of good tips that you guys don't want to miss. So make sure you download this episode and this will be one you'll want to refer to again and again. So Bonnie, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Anytime. You're part of the family. So come
on. Awesome. Thank you. I loved it.
Oh, we look forward to hearing from you soon. More music. Okay. Keep rocking.
Sweet. You too, girl.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. You Ciao. Too. Bye.
Bye.
You must think my mind is made of steel, made of steel. Think my heart is made of stone, made of stone. I ain't coming home singing on my own, and I ain't gonna be your woman no more. Well, you used to make me mad as a hen out in the pen, and you used to make me cry like a son that wasn't kin. I ain't coming home singing on my own, woman no more. Well, you treat me just like trash on the side of the road. Then you call me up when you're drinking, and you're drunk, when you're drunk. I've seen this before.